Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there, and welcome to another episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. I'm Kim Stewart.
And I'm Hazel Fruitman.
And today we're going to talk about Canada's proposed cannabis legislation. God, there's a mouthful. If you've been living in a cave and you hadn't heard over the past several months, Canada has been proposing legislation to make recreational cannabis use legal for adults by July of 2018.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah, so let's talk about, for all of our Canadian customers and people who could be our Canadian customers, what does this say? What considerations may not be mentioned? You know, what's our take on this?
Right. So a few weeks ago, I wrote an article on this. It highlights what's on the cannabis bill. But before we get started, I just want to talk about Cannabis Wallet, what we do here, and how it can work for your business. So Cannabis Wallet is really mobile wallet marketing. Mobile wallet marketing is a way for you to connect and communicate with your clientele using your mobile device. This is done with a mobile wallet pass. A mobile wallet pass sits in your Apple Wallet app on your iPhone or third-party Android app. And it has a front and a back to it, these passes. The front shows who you are. If you're a dispensary, it will say the name of your dispensary. On the back of your pass, it will have any details that you want your user to know, your patient to know, such as a call to action. It links to call or email you, navigation map to your dispensary. It has share features, of course, to your social media sites. You can pass the pass really easily through mobile or really any method. Let's go back to the Canadian bill and the considerations for the proposed legislature.
You know, before we do that, I want to mention that we've got an older podcast in the archives, episode 31, where we talked about the U.S. election results from last fall. And there were 9 different U.S. states that were looking at new voter initiatives regarding cannabis legislation. And we also will have an upcoming episode that deals with the new legal landscape in America, including the fact that some states are currently deciding to legislate without voter initiatives, legal cannabis into existence. That's never happened before. That'll be, like you say, an upcoming episode. 31 is the older episode that you may want to check out. So let's go back to the Canadian bill. And Hayes, can you give us a quick rundown of the considerations for the legislation that has been proposed?
Sure. So the first one on the docket is keep it out of reach of children. If you're 18 years of age or older and you are selling to a minor, you will be convicted for 14 years. It's really that simple.
Now, is this dead set on 18 or is it possibly going to be 21 as the age? I thought I saw a few news articles that there was some controversy about the legal drinking age in Canada being 21. Why wouldn't the legal marijuana age?
Some provinces, the legal drinking age is 19. Some of it is 18. So yes, this can all change come July 2018. But right now they're saying 18 years of age or older, you can have cannabis. Another part of it is the possession. How much cannabis can you carry? Well, 30 grams.
That's just over an ounce for anybody in America listening.
Or 2 ounces. It's 2 ounces.
No, it isn't. 28 grams is an ounce.
It's 2 ounces.
No, it isn't. 28 grams is 1 ounce.
All right.
I can assure you of that. 28 grams is 1 ounce.
All right. I thought it was 2 ounces.
No.
All right. So, and also, if you have a house, an apartment, or whatever dwelling that you have, you can grow marijuana, but only up to 100 meters and only 4 plants.
100 meters of what?
I mean, 1 meter. 100 centimeters. Sorry.
So, I also saw in all of the Canadian news articles about this that a lot of landlords and condominium complexes and places like that were having an absolute freak out.
Absolutely they are. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll just go through the list right now. We'll go in more detail later. No import or export of cannabis. So whatever cannabis is grown in Canada stays in Canada. And that makes a lot of sense, I would think. No driving while impaired by cannabis. So we're looking at different legislation that has not been approved yet in place of this. So you can't drive while intoxicated or impaired, and it will come down in July 2018.
Now we come to what is a really sticky sticking point in this proposed legislation, and that is the advertising. Now, from what I've seen, the government wants to prevent product branding.
Correct. They don't want it to be like tobacco, where it appeals to children, or even like booze.
Right, but the problem with that is who's going to spend the time and the money creating good quality products to not be able to brand those products so that more people want to buy their products? I mean, I see that one is going to be a big one, and it's probably going to be hard fought.
Right. Again, this is more on basing it that they don't want to promote it to youths. It's a big sticky point with Trudeau. He really does not want children to be smoking cannabis, even though he wants to make it legal. Yeah. What else do we have on this? So you can promote within the dispensary. We do have a mobile wallet pass going in one of our dispensaries. As soon as you walk in, it will tell you what the specials are.
Right. So that's iBeacon related and not geo-targeted.
Yes. Also part of this is no self-serve or vendor machines can dispense cannabis. And no misleading or false advertising of any kind when enticing the young to use cannabis. And if you do, there's going to be a heavy fine of $5 million or 3 years in jail. So they are not kidding.
So a lot of this, as I understand it, is still going to be very much governed by the provinces?
Yes, yes.
So if Ontario, land of the licensed producers, doesn't want to play along and have storefront dispensaries, they'll be able to prohibit it. I see, you know, like, obviously BC does what BC does. I read an article the other day about how Halifax is absolutely going to be cannabis friendly, et cetera, et cetera. So this is going to have a wide variance, I think.
Right. It's going to be left down to the provincial level. BC, they want to...
So what kind of stuff is not being regulated at the federal level? Maybe we should just tilt the conversation around to that.
All right. Well, it doesn't mention a lot of things right now in the legislation. That's the cultivation of the plant, the tracking, the methods of ingestion. Unlike Washington, next door to us from BC, they track every part of the plant that they must sell. It's all accounted for.
Right, even down to root disposal and stuff like that. And they have all the different seed-to-sale software where they have to account for every single ounce of every single part of the plant from start to finish, whether it's waste. You know, they have to account for things like what did they do with the dirt that they used to grow the plants in, if it was in the dirt, but in the dirt in a bag, indoors, etc. Yeah, they're all very specific in Washington State about that.
Right. So there was no mention of that in what was just released. So we'll see what happens there come July 2018. As well as there was nothing mentioned on how to distribute this outside of a dispensary, whether it be a delivery service or a postal service. Right now, there are online dispensaries that will mail you cannabis.
Right, but those are licensed producers, so they're acting under the current legal.
Right, right. And some may not be, and if they are found out, it's a federal crime. So you do have to be careful because postage is a federal level, not provincial level. And we don't really know how much we can carry with us if we are a delivery service. Will it be only up to 30 grams? We just don't know right now. It's not in the legislation at all.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And again, no import or export of cannabis. We've gone through that. It makes a lot of sense. So growing small plants. Yes. Back to landlords you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah. Like I read an article about it. And how can you say if I'm a landlord and I don't want my tenants basically growing dope in the bathroom under a grow light, Right. How do I prevent that?
Right. So homegrown. So right now what they're saying is you can have up to four small plants in a dwelling up to 1 meter high. So we don't know, like, small plants, the height, but we don't know the width. So people are just going to cut off a plant, and it could be wide. We don't know how that's going to work yet. It's making landlords crazy because they're not going to take you on as a tenant if they know you're going to grow. And
is the growth of this where it says the up to four small plants, is this for personal use?
For personal use, yes.
So this isn't, okay, you can grow four small plants worth, harvest them today, start another, you know, bring in like, well, I could just see so many places that could go wrong.
Right. So there's still a lot of question marks. In Ontario, like you mentioned, like raids and dispensaries are
ongoing and often.
Which just seems to be the opposite in BC. They're handling it a different way. They're not being targeted and not have a much enforcement. Provincial leaders like BC's Liberal leader, Christy Clark, she's really tight-lipped about this, what's going on. Meanwhile, as we're mentioning, BC agriculture economy will want to see proven benefits by legally growing cannabis, taking it out of the criminal element. Since BC is the top province in cannabis agriculturally, I'm sure BC will want more rights than other provinces. So that's going to play out. That's going to be interesting when it plays out compared to Ontario.
So let me ask you, okay, so there's already a big divide between licensed producers and so-called province or city-licensed dispensaries, for instance. So what are the advocates, you know, the people that don't stand to benefit from this legalization the way that it's currently being proposed? I mean, do these guys see that they're going to find themselves completely out of business here? There'll be no more like compassionate care. And is that the general...
That is the general consensus, is those cannabis advocates, those advocacy people who've been doing this for 30, 40 years, battling the government, wanting to make cannabis legal, starting the cannabis movement, where are they going to be seen? Because right now they are being seen as the enemy.
Well, I mean, you look at somebody, you know, like Mark and Jody Emery were arrested a few months ago, and, you know, they're always controversial for any number of reasons, you know, and they're kind of like the poster child for screw you, government, we're going to do what we want to. This is for the people, by the people, etc. I mean, I think it's going to be really like crazy to see how this is all going to go down.
It is going to be crazy because, again, they're the advocates. They've been wanting to do this for many, many years. And instead of, you know, the federal government including them in what's happening, they are just, Trudeau's just having former NPs head up LPs.
Well, you know, there's another funny thing here because over the last, I don't know, year and a half, the wholesale price of cannabis has, you know, the bottom has completely fallen out of it.
Completely.
Doesn't
Colorado,
matter.
Colorado, Washington.
California, British Columbia, Oregon, you name it, everywhere. So once you make it a situation where the legality for growing it is there, all of a sudden, you know, bringing it in from other places where it's, you know, like supposedly... In the United States, I'll use this for an example. Supposedly, the Mexican gang business in bringing marijuana into the United States, while it hasn't been completely diminished because obviously it's not legal everywhere, it has, you know, they've taken like such a hit that it's really not even that profitable of a business for them anymore, which is another reason why they are more focused on opioid products, because obviously that's not a market where people can like grow their own opium poppies and shit like that. So how does one who is in the business of cannabis in Canada or considering becoming in the business of cannabis in Canada, how do they really start to get their ducks in a row and prepare to run like a real legitimate business?
That's an excellent question. All we can do is run it like a legitimate business. You know the saying, you don't ask for permission, you just do it. until these legalization measures are ready to go on the books, it's time to get your ducks in a row and prepare to market yourself successfully for your cannabis business. So, and that's where we come in. We can assist you in setting up a mobile wallet pass that's seen only on a mobile device in a dispensary, and it will allow you to promote your products in an unobtrusive manner inside of it. You can put any discounts or any daily specials you have right on the mobile device. And that way patients, members of your compassionate care facility will know that they're in for when it's time to approach the counter. And if you're not a dispensary, you're just a regular cannabis business, get in touch with us anyway. We'll work with you. We'll take you through the steps, let you know what it takes to market to mobile. So you will find us at cannabiswallet.net and follow us on Twitter. We also have a LinkedIn profile. You can catch us there. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Kim?
I think we're good.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. This is another episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, and we appreciate it.